All right, so this is it's a little bit to do with Sefiras HaOmer, but it's also a global idea on the concept of mitzvot Tzrichos Kavana. So it's a nice Shas topic as it relates to Inyan HaDiyoma. So basically, you guys know where the main sugya of mitzvot Tzrichos Kavana is?
Yeah. Usually matzah.
Matzah is one of the highlights because
you don't need kavana.
Right. Well, matzah, you actually don't need kavana.
Right, so it's a question. Right, that's the question. So they have those come up in Masechus. Those come up in Masechus Rosh Hashanah. Right, so there's the lion's share of the sugyas are have to do with tokeh lashir. Right, if a person is just blowing shofar for fun. Does that, can he be Yotzei Mitzvah Tekiya Shofar? And then the Gemara goes off and brings together a lot of the cases. I gave it to you here from the Mishnah in Brachos, which is also one of the cases that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah quotes, because I like the way Rashi breaks it down here. But the Mishnah starts off, it's a very strange question as to how you could be, how you can understand the Metzias of this Mishnah, but it says here, HaYakori BaTorah, V'Higia Zman HaMikra. So if a person was learning Torah, he's reading from the Torah, and then it becomes time for Kriya Shema. Im kiven libo yotza. So if he has kavana to be yotze mitzvah Kriya Shema, he is yotze. So it's a little hard to understand. If you're the Ramban and you say, really, min haTorah, all you have to read is the first pasuk. So fine, that's easy. But there are numerous Rishonim who hold that you have to read. Right. So it was like they're not, you know, in order in the Torah, and they're in different Svarim. If you want to read all three parshios, you have to go. You have to span both Bamidbar and Dvarim, and not in that order at all. And
what?
I do obviously, but the person
also?
In the Mishnah, right? Obviously, I don't do it out of order, but so that's why that's what bothers me personally. Yeah, but it's just an interesting metzias. No, there are those who quote this as a raya that it has to be the Ramban sheet or Rashi sheet that the first parsha is daraisa. So that has to be. Strongly supported by this Mishnah. But nevertheless, okay, for our purposes, it's not the issue. And the Gemara concludes based on this idea, or tries to conclude, Shema mina mitzvos tzrichos kavana. So we can prove from this Mishnah that in order to be yotzi the mitzvah, you have to have kavana. So how is the Gemara medayik this from the Mishnah? Right, it says specifically, im kivin libo yatza. Mashma, that if you don't have kavana, you are not yotze. So the Gemara says, not so fast. My im kivin libo. What does it mean when it says im kivin libo? Likros, just to read normally. Right, so the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Likros, hakakari. It says he was reading. So what do you mean he had kavana to read? So the Gemara answers, bekori lahagia. You don't have to assume that he was reading it to read it. He was reading it to check the Sefer Torah for mistakes. So he was just mouthing the words. Oh, let's assume he was mouthing the words for argument's sake. And he was, according to Rashi, if you look in Rashi, Kore Lahagia, Esasei from Yeshbo Tos, Dafil Lekriya Nami Lo Mecham. And he wasn't even intending to read it. He just wanted to mouth the words to see that they were spelled correctly. But he wasn't even doing the lowest form of reading, you know, which was reading with any kind of intent. And therefore he would not have been Yotzei, even if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, because what he would be considered was not even an act of reading. It's less than that. Now, so Tosfos is not into that. Tosfos, I didn't give you the Tosfos on the sheet, but Tosfos is not so into that. Tosfos suggests that he was reading lahagia, means he was purposely mispronouncing certain words. Like instead of reading the word totafos, he read tatafas, because that's how it's spelled in the Torah. So he was reading it as it was written to make sure that all the words were spelled correctly.
But then you're not Yotzei Shema.
Right. So that's what it means. Kivin Libo means if you stopped reading it in this wrong way, at Lahagia, meaning...
It's not Kivin Libo. You're changing the way you were reading.
For sure. Rashi wants to say that, in other words, Tosfos, Rashi wants to say it's all a mental change. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you're doing the same Maisa, it's just a question of were you doing it or not doing it with any kind of intent, the minimal amount of intent. Right, Tosfos suggests no. Even the most minimal intent, if you're reading it correctly, that's called reading. And they're not willing to go so far as to say that reading it correctly, but with alternative kavana, is enough to not be yotze. And therefore, you had to have been purposely mispronouncing the words in order to not be yotzi. So that's that difference might come back to, you know, into the discussion. But if you look in Rashi, just some of the Rashis that we skipped, a couple of important points. Number one, mitzvah srichos kavana shehi miskavein l'shem mitzvah. Right? Rashi very specifically says, what does mitzvah srichos kavana mean? You just should understand what I am doing is a mitzvah. Not l'shem yichud, exactly. No, so this is a, you know, that's a, something also to talk about around Sfiras Omer time. But Sfiras Omer, the original tshuva from the Nodi Bihuda was regarding Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer is one of those times where l'shem yichud becomes more popular, somewhat in the Leil HaSeder, but I think even more. I've read places that even those individuals who were not makbid to say l'shem yichud the rest of the year, on the Leil HaSeder, they would say l'shem yichud, because they basically said on the night of the Seder, we're considered on a higher level. And therefore, I don't consider myself a fancy Kabbalist that I can claim that I know what I'm doing and all these, like being miyached, the shame yudhei with the shame vavhei, whatever. I don't even know what that means. So, but on the Seder night, we're all special, and therefore we're all super fancy people, and we can say l'shem yichud.
Doesn't Sfira have another reason?
So what's the reason for the Sfira?
Wouldn't Sfira be like, because you're actually not yotzei, like you don't understand what you're saying, but you're saying it for the mitzvah?
So, right, but that doesn't have to do with Shem Yichud.
I guess not.
But no, so I have to think that, just based on my own observations, I never found that people were more makbid about this on the Seder night. Not that I've been to so many starim from so many people, but I didn't find people who don't say it do it on the Seder night. I found that people do it for Sfiras HaOmer.
Right.
It's like, even if you go to an Ashkenaz shul, they'll all really l'shem yichud, like, so the joke to me is that, like, all right, if you want to say l'shem yichud, there, it's not a tefillah that, like, you have to be yotzei having said the words. Like, either you are saying it or you're not saying it, but if you're going to say it, like, you should have real kavana for what you're saying. Like, if you're willing to add the fancy kabbalistic kavanas, so you should not mumble them. You should take it very seriously. But the point is that l'shem yichud, I always thought the reason Sfiras HaOmer is l'shem yichud versus other things is because it has that double entendre of Sfiros and Sfiros, right? So people are very into that. No, because that's the...
It's spelled differently, no?
No, not that I know of. Sfiros? It's the same thing. I'm serious.
Like.
No, what I'm saying, it's the same spelling. But even so, even if it, no, but was, in other words, every day they'll say today is Chesed Sheba Chesed, and then, you know, they'll correspond the.
It is. It's spelled the same.
Right.
What did you think? How do you think it was spelled?
I don't know.
There's a shin in there, and there's a random Q. So. It's one of those Russian backwards fours, you know.
It's a classic college book question. What word, if you take away four of its letters, still pronounced the same?
I don't know.
Q.
Oh, that's cute.
It's a classic question.
That's cute.
Anywho.
So I always thought the reason people say L'shem Yichud for Sfiras HaOmer is the link between the 10 Sfiros and, or at least the 7 lower Sfiros, because I only get involved with the 7 lower ones. I don't go for the top 3. That's a little too fancy for me.
Probably if you go for the top 3, you ruin the 7-7 stuff.
Right. Well, no, but the thing is, the top 3 are like the godly ones, and the bottom 7 are like Shaykh to us.
Just a lot of Gnosticism.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know. So basically... The L'shem Yichud comes up a lot when it comes to Sfira. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're saying that already is, that's super fancy kavana. We're talking about Rashi says, it's l'chavein l'shem mitzvah. I'm doing this because it's a mitzvah. So this, also it's important to keep in mind that we're not going to get involved with it much ourselves, but there's a concept of stama l'shma. Even if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, there's a concept in by most mitzvos. The Gemara says this by kodshim. It's always stama l'shma. Like, what else are you doing? Like, why would you be bringing this animal if not l'shem the korban? You're in the Beis Hamikdash doing all these avodas. You know, obviously there's a concept of stama l'shma over there, but even by other mitzvos, like, why would you be shaking a lulav or Or, you know, blowing a shofar, maybe you'll say lashir, but other things, like that's why matzah, maybe you could suggest, I'm just eating it because I want to eat. But there are plenty of, like, you want to help an old lady across the street, so you could say, okay, there you say mitzvah tzrichus kavana, that if you don't have any kavana, you just, your kavana is to be a nice guy, so okay, so you're a nice guy. If your kavana, right, if your kavana is to do a mitzvah, so you're a nice guy and you're doing a mitzvah. But the idea is that by certain things like tzedakah and chesed and you know, you could say kriya shma depending on what the context is, you know, that there we have the concept of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, because there is a possibility for an alternative kavana. However, by many mitzvos, it's always going to be mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, because we're going to say stam
l'shma. You could say you thought it was a non-kosher lulav or something.
Right, but that's not stama. Meaning stama, it means like you pick up a dal minim and you start shaking it, or even you just pick it up. So
you could just bring in the carbon in the base of mikdash because you like the smell, or you want to get the meat from it.
Right, but again, we're not injecting alternative kavanas to the stam act. We're looking to say that, like, if you did this, the likelihood is that your intention was for the mitzvah, as opposed to other acts where it's not indicative in the act itself that you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. So that's the basic introduction. But so what do we learn from the three variables in the Gemara? So you have basically mitzvos tzrichos kavanah, that you should be mechavein l'shem mitzvah. Right, and then we said the middle ground, kivin likros, right? The Gemara says you had kavana to read. So if you look at Rashi over there, he says, avalatze sidei mitzvah lo bo'inan sheyehe miskavin el likros betorah ba'alma. To do the mitzvah, your only kavana has to be to read the Torah. My goal is to read these words. If you read these words and it's at the right time, you get a mitzvah. That's it. And then there's the lowest level, which is korei lahagia. Let's assume Rashi's pshat, which means that your kavana was not even to do the basic maisa kriya. Your kavana was less. And therefore, that, what would we call that type of kavana, or what would we call that action in halacha? Well, let's put it this way, right? So the answer that I'm not looking for, but I am looking for it right now, is give me an example of accidentally being mechalel Shabbos. Right, so there you go. What do you do? You walk in, you wake up, everyone says the same thing. That's why I'm never actually looking for that answer, but I am looking for it now to make a point. Right, so you walk into the, it's 3 in the morning, you wake up, you have to go to the bathroom, and you walk into the bathroom and you flip the light on. Right, so is that really an example of accidentally being a false Shabbos? Why? It's not even a show gig. What is it?
I forgot the term.
It's what we call misasik ba'alma. Right, that's a misasik. So why do we call that a misasik? Because you didn't even have kavana for the maisa you were doing. It was a knee-jerk reaction. So it's less than a shogeg. You wouldn't bring a carbon chatas for that. If you woke up and you were very, you know, bright-eyed and excited, and you get up and you say, great thing it's Sunday today because I really want to turn the lights on right now, and then you turn the light on, and it turned out it was Shabbos, not Sunday, that's a shogeg. Right? Or you say, great thing that it's mutter to turn the lights on Shabbos, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do this. And then you turn the lights on, and then you find out it's usher to turn the lights on Shabbos. That's also a shogeg, because you had full kavana for the maisa you were doing. Right? Another example of misasik would be if there were two light switches. You know, sometimes there's more than one switch. So you want to turn on the one on the left, and your hand accidentally hits the one on the right. You aim for the left, and you just have bad aim, I don't know, and you accidentally hit the one on the right. So that's another example of misasik, where you didn't have intent at all for the maisa that you were doing. You intended some other maisa.
What's the halacha when you wake at 3 o'clock in the morning, walk into the bathroom, you accidentally turn the light switch on, and at that moment you realize it's Shabbos, and you instinctively go to turn it back on?
Right. So that happened to my daughter. That happened to my daughter the other day. Not the other day. Probably about three. No, it was actually Pesach night. Pesach night. I don't remember. Whatever.
Okay.
So, whatever she accidentally turned the lights on. She went up to sleep, and it was, you know, Pesach night, so she was exhausted. It was like very late at night after the Seder, and she accidentally turned the light on. So we were all saying to her, like, why didn't you just turn it on and then, like, go, oh no, and then turn it off quickly? Like, why didn't you? So So yeah, that's the normal reaction, is that your knee-jerk reaction is to quickly try to undo what you did. Not exactly how it works, but that is a standard human reaction. But
I did that this past Shabbos. That's why. Like, I was going to sleep, so I like turned my Shabbos light off, and then like right away I was like, no, it's Shabbos, and I turned it back on.
Right. Can't have Shabbos without a Shabbos light. What are you? So yeah, so try to. I mean, the truth is, none of these lights that we use anymore would be Doraisas anyway. So that's good.
Yeah, I think this is actually incandescent.
Really, rare to come by an incandescent bulb these days.
No, it's probably not actually.
By incandescent bulb, I think everyone agrees that it's a malacha d'oraisa. The shaila of whether or not you can make a borei moreh eisha on every type of light bulb, but Rav Chaim Ozer used to, apparently in Vilna, used to have a light bulb that he would dafka make borei moreh eisha on for Havdalah, to show that he held that it was considered halachically fire. But that's a little bit of an iffy thing nowadays, because most of the light bulb he held, if it was, it can't be a frosted light bulb, it would have to be a clear glass. So those are hard. As hard as it is to come by an incandescent light bulb, it's even harder to come by a clear incandescent light bulb, so it's not so plush. But okay, so here we have this new category of misasek in the maisa. You're not even doing the maisa, it's less. So that's the third level of maisa when it comes to this discussion. You can have doing the maisa with kavana l'shem mitzvah, you can have just doing the maisa, and that's dependent on the machlokes, mitzvos tzrichos kavana, or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. And then there's the third level, which is that the maisa doesn't even count as an act, and therefore it's considered a misasek ba'alma, and that would be korei lahagia. Right? Now, we're not gonna go further in the subject of misasek versus kavana, but one thing to keep in mind is that for years I always broke it down to those three categories. I never understood this idea. I saw this in an article written by Rav Ruderman from Neri Yisrael. He was the founding Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael. He had this idea to explain a bunch of other cases that the man da'amar who holds mitzvos tzrichos kavana is basically saying that if you do the act of blowing shofar without kavana for the sake of the mitzvah, it's not that you did the maisa, you just didn't have extra kavana. Rather, it's that if you hold in order to be yotze the mitzvah, you need kavana l'shem mitzvah, an act without that kavana is considered a misasek ba'alma. Meaning it's less than the maisa requires, and therefore it's not considered a full maisa. The nafkaminas are legit. It's just not for our discussion. But the point is, the way I like to understand, I think, is the simplest way, which is that there are three levels. There's misasek, which is not even a maisa. Then there's the maisa with just kavana to do the act, which would not be sufficient if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana. And then there's the highest level, which is doing the act l'shem mitzvah, which you're yotze according to everybody, even if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana. What Rav Ruderman was explaining was there's really only two levels. There's misasek and the maisa. It's just a question of what the criteria for a maisa is. So if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, the criteria for what a maisa is not only to think I'm doing this act, but also to have in mind I'm doing this act for the sake of the mitzvah. Whereas if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, you just have to have kavana to do the act, and that's sufficient. It has to do a little bit with what we were talking about before, why you might not need kavana when you eat matzah or other things like that. So that's where it's relevant, but it's not for today. Okay, so in terms of psak halacha, do we paskin mitzvah tzrichos kavana or not? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, so this is one of the places where he discusses it. Yesh omrim, so he gives you all the shitos, right? But he does you a little bit of a favor. And he says, Yesh omrim she'ein mitzvos tzrichos kavana, v'yesh omrim she'tzrichos kavana latzei spasiyas oso mitzvah, v'chein halacha. So he actually paskins that although the opinion of mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana is a very solid opinion that many Rishonim hold, but we paskin mitzvos tzrichos kavana.
Not like Rav Tarek.
Not like, why, what did he say?
He passed like the rush, I think.
What does it mean? For what?
Mitzvah tzrichos kavana.
He passes yes, mitzvahs are regular or not?
No.
He says in for everything? So that this is the, so this is the question, because well, what was the case at hand?
What?
What was the case at hand?
Oh, I don't remember. Your question.
I don't remember.
So here this could be an issue. Right. So I'll tell you why. This could be this, take a look at
right. It was with Gittin, but I don't remember the case.
So if you take a look in the Magen Avraham here, this is why it makes a difference what the case was. So the Magen Avraham quotes from a Radvaz. For the life of me, I've never found this Radvaz. Now I'm not going to claim to have done extensive research, but like having done searches on the Bar Ilan, I never actually found it. And looking in a paper, Chuvas or Radvaz, I also never found it. So I don't know.
It looks like he gives where it is.
He gives you where it is. I can't find it there. I'm saying it's
I've had that before. Not that I've ever done extensive research either.
Right. So I'm not sure. I've only ever seen it quoted in the Magen Avraham, but it's a very quick quotation. So he says, "V'dafka b'mitzvos de'oraisa." Specifically, when it comes to mitzvos de'oraisa, you need kavana. Avo mitzvos de'rabanan ein tzrichos kavana. But when it comes to mitzvos de'rabanan, we paskin mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, and this is the what you will hear this Magen Avraham quoted very, very frequently in any discussion of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, that we hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana for mitzvos derabanan, and we hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana for mitzvos deoraisa. So I always get upset when people just quote this idea as the accepted halacha, because if you look in the Mishnah Brura here, he doesn't accept it. He writes that Kosov Magen Avraham b'shem Radvaz v'zeh davka mitzvah d'oraisa al mitzvah d'rabanan ein tzrichos kavana l'fizeh kol habrachos. Anytime you make a bracha, shem gam kein d'rabanan levad birchas hamazon im lo kiven lem latzeis yatza b'di'eved ach mikama makomos b'shulchan aruch mashma shu cholik al zeh v'chein mavor hagra b'simen taf peites mashma gam kein shem l'chalik b'mitzvah d'oraisa l'mitzvah d'rabanan. So the Mishnah Brura seems clear to me that he doesn't accept the Magen Avraham. He says that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch never makes such a chiluk, and the Bir Agra specifically doesn't make this chiluk. So he doesn't think the Magen Avraham is such a pashut thing that we accept it. So the Magen Avraham does hold that by mitzvahs de Rabbanan we paskin ein srichas kavana, but the Mishnah Brura, based on what he considers to be the Shita of Shulchan Aruch, and we never find the Ramah arguing, so I think it's fair to say that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both agree that we paskin mitzvahs tzrichos kavana across the board. So, okay, so I'm not saying you should discount the Magen Avraham Shita, but nevertheless, it's not a Dover Pashut. It's not a Dover Pashut. Okay, now let's try to bring this into an interesting case in Sfiras Omer. So if you look at the next source, it's Siman Tav Pei Tes. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Hamispalel im hatzibur mibod yom." Let's say you go to shul early. The question is, how early? What does he even mean in terms of early? Let's assume, for argument's sake, he's referring to you're going to a regular mincha marav minyan. So what are they?
In between.
What?
Is it plag in
no
between?
Plag. Shkia. Mincha marav. Shkia. Right. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't know from plag minyanim.
What?
Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold you're allowed to daven plag. So we know better than the Shulchan Aruch when we daven plag. So Friday afternoon, the Mishnah Brura at least claims the Shulchan Aruch would agree you're allowed to daven plag because of the mitzvah of Tosefah Shabbos. But not on a Friday afternoon if it's not a major Shasar Chak. The Shulchan Aruch definitely says you're not allowed to. He says, since we always daven till Shkia, so you're not allowed to, at a different time, daven at plag. And then, I mean, you could always daven mincha before plag. That's fine. It's just marav. Marav is the problem. So he says, let's assume, like I think that's how the Mishnah Brura assumes, and many of the Nosei Kalim, that mib'od yom doesn't mean plag. It means shkia. And, you know, after shkia, you're going to daven marav. Mone imoyim below bracha. You should count Sfira at the time with the tzibur without a bracha. V'im yizkor b'layla yivarech v'yizkor. And then if you remember later on, you should count with a bracha. So again, you should count with them without a bracha. But then if you remember later on, you count with a bracha. Hagah v'afilu anu amein al brachas berachas hakol im hayadaito shalolatzes yachzor v'yivarech v'yizkor b'layla. Right, and he says that even if you answered Amen when the Shlich Tzibur made the bracha, no problem. Your intention was not to be yotze with that bracha, and therefore you can count later on that night with a bracha.
Does that mean the whole minhag of saying like yesterday was 13?
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch does quote that. It says if someone asks you what day it is, you should say yesterday was whatever. So that also is dependent on this machlokas of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. If we pask in mitzvos tzrichos kavana, so if you accidentally count sfira, you're still good to go because you didn't intend to be able to say the mitzvos. You were just trying. You were intending to give him some information, right? So if you accidentally counted, it's not such a big deal. Now you could say, why does the Shulchan Aruch say you should tell him what yesterday's was if he holds mitzvos tzrichos kavana? So simply, he doesn't want to get involved in the machlokas. He wants to stay away from it.
But I mean, like, so if you, even,
does he quote his halacha or just like?
So if you do early shabbat,
and I say,
no,
yeah.
He says this is what you should do if someone asks you what day it is.
But he says if you actually counted, you could count again with a bracha.
Right.
So of course, like if you mention to somebody today is 14.
No, so what does he mean here? So this the Pashat explanation in the Shulchan Aruch is that you're making a t'nai.
Oh,
you're counting, meaning there is a minority view in understanding it, which is you're just counting not to be porish from the tzibur. Like, so if everybody's counting, you're like, oh, what are these goyim are counting sphira now? It's so early, so I can't believe it.
But as long as, like, you keep it to yourself, is that really a freshman?
Yeah, I don't know why. The poskim don't really know of our super subterfuge ways of pretending we're doing things. They assume that, like, no, if everyone's saying something, you should say something. It could be everybody just used to daven out loud back then. I don't know. Like Rav Moshe talks about, like, let's say you're in shul for Halil on the Leil HaSeder. Right, you're in shul on Seder night, and they're saying Hallel. So he says, like, let's say your minhag is not to say Hallel. So he says, so just don't make a bracha. He's like, if you can get away with it. What do you mean if I can get away with it? I'll just start saying the words.
If there's 10 people in a really big
shul, no, he's
shul
like, if no one's
going to
notice you.
Room.
He says, if no one's going to notice that you didn't make a bracha, then don't make a bracha. If everyone's going to notice, then you can make the bracha. You know, so it's like, how's everybody going to notice? Yeah, I don't. A lot of these things, they don't know about our brilliant plans of just mumbling. So it's very hard for me to understand that why they always say that, but they do. So Shulchan Aruch probably doesn't mean this, but there are some who understand the Shulchan Aruch that you're trying to avoid being porish from the tzibur. And that's why you're counting. But really, you don't want to count now. But the push-up shot is that you're concerned you might forget, meaning when does a person usually forget count sfira?
Right.
When you're already daven too early, and now you don't count in shul. So you end up forgetting the whole night. No, so the problem with not davening at plag, or even not davening at shkia, is that you know, it's really late, and you're allowed to have some oneg Shabbos also. You're allowed to, you can enjoy. You don't have to sit down to Friday night dinner at 9:30 at night if you don't want to.
I mean, on Friday night it's easier to suggest, right?
What?
On Friday night it's easier to suggest that it's actually okay.
Yeah, it's not so easy still.
That Taz over there.
Yeah, it's the whatever. It's a discussion, but it's not
that Taz.
It's a big machlokas. There's three times in Or HaChaim where the Taz and the Marshal have a machlokas about whether or not you can actually change the status of the day. So Sfiras Omer is one of the times that the discussion comes up. So the Taz seems to be of the opinion that you can actually transform it to the next day by accepting Shabbos upon yourself. What?
Is there a similar machlokas with Nida?
Yeah. That's a question of...
Get your mind out of the gutter.
No, it's there's a discussion of it. It's perhaps two opinions in Tosfos, in Ksuvis, and whatever. There's a discussion by Hilchos Nida. Let's say everybody's Makabel Shabbos early, and you didn't yet. You need the day not to be over for the purpose of Hilchos Nida, but if the whole tzibur davened already, so you should really try to take care of whatever you need to take care of before the tzibur is going to accept Shabbos early. The Ramah has that discussion, Hilchos Nida, right? So there are discussions here and there about transforming the day, but Pashup Shah, you can't transform the day. So we're not usually makel to count Sfira after a plag minion on Friday night. So let's assume this is a Shkia minyan. So it's Shkia, but it's not really, you know, classic Bein HaShmashos. The Shulchan Aruch's Bein HaShmashos is a little later than our Bein HaShmashos is. We assume it's Bein HaShmashos right after Shkia, like certainly for the purposes of not violating Shabbos and things like that. We assume Bein HaShmashos right away. So the Shulchan Aruch probably has it being a little bit later. But for our purposes, he says what you should do is you should count, having in mind that if you're going to remember later, you can count with a bracha. With me so far? Okay, so comes the Magen Avraham and says, "V'nirali, the azel l'shitase shepasak b'simin samach sivdalid the mitzvah tzrichas kavana." So he says, "Why does the Shulchan Aruch hold you can do this? Because he holds that mitzvah tzrichas kavana. V'im kain yechavin belibo. Therefore, you can have kavana. Im ezkor belayla ein ani mechavin latzeis b'svirazu. If I remember tonight, I don't want to have kavana with this svira." Meaning, he's basically saying the only reason you have the right to make this condition is if you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana.
You would hold that by old
nun
then.
Right.
Because you don't want to have kavana with
this
Why? Meaning, it's got nothing to do with sphere here or anything. Like, he would hold that you just can't make it tonight on being Yotzei Mitzvah.
Yeah, so the question that everybody has on this Magen Avraham is, it's not really true that you need to say mitzvah tzrichas kavana in order to make a tanai. Why would you have to hold mitzvah? Meaning, haven't you ever heard of what we call negative kavana?
Oh.
Haven't you ever heard of, right? What's the recognition?
Just,
what?
That made sense.
Oh, okay. I thought I was raising an issue that had come up in the past, but. No, if you look in the Prima Gadim here, so the Prima Gadim has a comment on every... You guys know how the Prima Gadim works? He has a comment on every... He's a super commentary, which doesn't just mean he's a better commentary. It means that he's a commentary on a commentary. So the Magen Avraham is a commentary, and the Prima Gadim has a Sif Katan on every Sif Katan of Magen Avraham. So this is the Eshel Avraham. So you notice it's Sif Katan Zayin in the Magen Avraham. It's Eshel Avraham Sif Katan Zayin. And he also has on the Taz. The Taz is the Turei Zav, so he has the Mishpatzos Zav on the Taz. So he writes just Poshet Pshat, Koshe, Inami, Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana. Nami Kol Shemona Al Tanai, Shaper Lo Yatza. Says, even if you hold Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana, if you count Al Tanai to not be Yotze, you're not Yotze. So the Tzarachian Ktas, I don't really get it. It's like, just have Kavana not to be Yotze. So if you look, I don't want to get into Machsa Shekel. Machsa Shekel is another super commentary on the Magen Avraham. It's not as widely used as the Prima Gadim, but it's an important commentary. He basically tries to spin the pshat in the Magen Avraham shelo kipshuto at all, because he just doesn't understand what the Magen Avraham is talking about. He has to learn a totally different pshat in the Magen Avraham because he just doesn't, like, he's like, it's not true. You could hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana and still do something and not be yotze. Everyone agrees that what they call in halacha kavana hafachis, right, the backwards kavana, negative kavana, works no matter what you hold.
What if
you don't want to be yotze something, you're not yotze.
What if it's a mitzvah that doesn't require, that like there is, like singing a sukkah doesn't need kavana?
Even if it doesn't require kavana.
Not even it doesn't, like I thought the whole thing of sukkah is like if you're in it, you're like you could have kavana, like go ahead.
Sukkah probably requires extra kavana, according to the sheet of the Bach. Right, according to the sheet of the Bach, you need more kavana in the sukkah than for other mitzvahs. You might need kavana l'shem anani akavod, perhaps. Right, so that's why the tour discusses maybe that it's dafka, the kavana is zecher l'anani hakavod, right? It says by three things. It's not just three things that need special kavana, just for the record. It's the three things the Bach mentions it by are tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah, because those have special psukim attached to them, right? L'man tia Torah Hashem b'ficha, l'man tizgru es kol mitzvos Hashem, right? So you have to, when you put on tzitzis, you should have in mind, I'm doing the mitzvot tzitzis, which represents the taryag mitzvos. Right, or you say I'm putting on tefillin, which represents the Torah, right? So you're supposed to specifically have special kavana for those mitzvos. But for example, there are mitzvos where the kavana is the part of the etzem mitzvah. You have the mitzvah of tefillah. You need to have kavana for it to be tefillah. It's not about the concept of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, where you're saying to yourself, the reason I'm davening is because of mitzvah to daven. That's mitzvos tzrichos kavana.
No, but you don't. You don't need a mitzvah. You don't need to have kavana to be yotzei your. You don't need extra kavana to be yotzei your chiyuv of tefillah. You just have to.
Well, if you look, it's the second Reb Chaim in the Sefer, right? If you look in the Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi al Rambam, this is the second piece. It's a very well-known piece because it's pretty easy, and it's on a topic that everybody knows about. So he basically discusses the differences of kavana, different types of kavana and tefillah. So he points out, obviously, mitzvah tzrichos kavana is its own type of kavana, where you say, I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah. But on top of that, the actual concept of knowing what you're talking about when you daven it's a type of kavana which is inherent to what tefillah is. It's not the same as mitzvah tzrichos kavana.
Meaning, my point was that, like, even if you pass in mitzvah tzrichos kavana, you would still need to know what you were saying for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right, same thing.
You would say the mitzvah.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. That's the chiluk, because, like, you could say, like, you could sit, you don't have to sit down to the table and say, all right, I'm ready to be yotzei the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can just start talking about Mitzrayim. But obviously, if you're just saying words that you don't know what they mean, so you could have even said, I have in mind to be yotzei Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and not be yotzei.
So if you just read the Agadah mindlessly, that's not...
Correct. It's not a prayer. It's not, I mean, even a prayer, you wouldn't be yotzei. But no, but it's important. Like, same thing with counting Sfira. If you don't know what you're talking about when you count Sfira, that's not counting. You just said words. So it's not a tefillah in that sense. Okay. So this is the kasha that everybody asks on this Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham comes out and says, basically, I hold Sfira Somer Bizmanenu as Durabanan. And he says, the Shulchan Aruch also holds that, probably. So, the Shulchan Aruch is saying you can make a tanai when you count Sfira, right? Which is a good idea to do when if you're at the Mincha Marav Minyan and they start counting Sfira. Usually they'll wait till after Alinu to count at that point, so it's a little bit later. But and then somebody will count with a bracha, right? So Rabbi Leibowitz, I think, likes to say, he's like, well, I'm the rabbi, so I'll be the Shabbos guy and I'll make the bracha early. So he says the bracha and the counts. So best thing to do is to make a tanai at that point. I'm going to count without a bracha, and if I remember later, I can count with a bracha. So if you remember after Tzitzak Ochavim, you can count with a bracha. But that's the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham says that's only because he holds mitzvah tzrichos kavana even by derabbanans. I hold there's no mitzvah tzrichos kavana by derabbanans, so you can't make a tanai. You're going to count without a bracha, and that's it. You were just yotzei, and you can't block it. And everyone says, why can't you block it? You can make a tanai. So that's the kasha on the Magen Avraham. So when I heard this kasha, I wasn't so blown away by it, because I just understood intuitively that it's not true. There's a difference between making a tanai and negative kavana. A tanai is a condition. If this, then that. But negative kavana is I don't want. It's much more definitive. By definition, a tanai is not definitive. If something happens, then this is how I will feel about it. But you don't feel it that way necessarily.
So then your qualms are with just tanaim in general, not...
So I don't have a qualm with tanaim in general, but I just feel like there's a strong difference between being wishy-washy on something and being definitive.
If the tanai works, then definitively, when you remember later, you had negative kavana.
But I didn't have negative kavana when I had it.
But that's how tanai works.
No, that's something, that's what we call breira. What you're talking about is called breira. That's more than a tanai. Breira is when it's unclear now, I still want to create a retroactive chalos. Wow. So that's more complicated than a regular tanai.
Okay.
A regular tanai is I have full intent now on condition. We'll see how it goes. A breira is I don't even necessarily know what I'm saying yet. It'll turn out that I may have been saying A and I may have been saying B. That's different. So in other words, if I say to a woman, it's very romantic if you do this at your wedding, by the way, hare at mekudeshesli al menas that it rains tomorrow, or whatever, right? Super romantic. So then I know what I want if it rains. If it doesn't rain, I don't want. You know, you're saying what you want and what you don't want. It's just a question of what's going to be determined later on. what you ended up saying. I fully wanted to be Mekadesh you, and I fully wanted this Tanai. You hear what I'm saying? So I understood intuitively that that had to be the pshat in the Magen Avraham. So I remember trying to sell this to people, and nobody was buying. And I was felt very vindicated. I found this svara in the Har Tzvi. If you look on the bottom left, so he's discussing a question of a guy is about tokeya, and he's going to be blowing shofar in five different shuls, or he's going into five nursing homes after davening, and he's going to blow the shofar in all the nursing homes. So he's saying, when should he have kavana? When shouldn't he have kavana? Right, so all right. So there's a whole discussion. He quotes from the Aderis. You guys know the Aderis? The Aderis was the Rav in Ponovich. His name was Rav Avram. No, I'm going to say his name wrong. Eliyo David Rabinovich Taomim.
How did he do it possibly not the first time?
Maybe he should have kavanah. He doesn't want to be yotze the first time, but he wants yotze? To.
How is he mozi other people?
He doesn't want to personally be yotze, but he wants to be mozi.
If it's bringing me, then Shmei Ka'ona, right?
So is that true? It's working midin shomei ke'one by shofar. That's not so pashut. It's a whatever. You got to read the tshuva in its entirety. Let's assume for argument's sake that you can say that it's not a classic shomei ke'one. It just has to be.
These women can't do it because they're not.
No, because she's not a bar chiyuva. Not because right. She's not being yotze. She is being yotze fully. If a woman blows shofar, she's fully yotze the mitzvah, but she's not a bas chiyuva.
She can't yotze anybody.
Because she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. So that's the point.
Just because you're not fulfilling the mitzvah now doesn't mean you.
Okay. Now, the fact that whether or not you are currently mekayim the mitzvah is not relevant per se.
As long as you can.
No, you're not. You have to be a bar chiyuva.
Okay.
So he quotes the Aderis and he says, "Make a tanai shemadinu kegaonim." Whatever, we have to fill in too many blanks to explain this. But all right, so we're not going to read it inside. Then you can read it inside later. But basically. Where would I want to read it from? Umistavra delo nikris kavana. Yeah, okay, you can pick it up from like four lines from the bottom there. Umistavra delo nikris kavana hafachis ela kavana brura vehechletis shelo latzis. He says it's not negative kavana unless it's clear and definitive that you don't want to be yotze. Avalokish umachavin al tanai umashir pesach bekavanaso latzis dechovasu betekeos elu. Says if you're leaving the opportunity to be yotze, you're saying if this, then that, then I do want to be yotze. If not, then not. So you're not being definitive. You're not trying to block it. You're trying to say I'm not sure if I want to be yotze right now. And therefore, it's not enough to make a tanai. If you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, that's not the same thing as negative kavana. Everyone agrees that negative kavana works, no matter whether you hold mitzvos srichos kavana or not. But a tanai is something else. A tanai, you have to hold mitzvos srichos kavana for a tanai to work. So what we didn't clarify is why. So what is the deal with a tanai that makes it different? So yes, the chilek between clear-cut kavana versus... You know, versus iffy kavana, that I can understand. But why specifically is a tanai shayach to the idea of mitzvah strichos kavana? So this...
It only is according to him and the Magen Avraham.
According to the Magen Avraham's idea.
Right.
Right. But
everybody else is
No, we don't know what the Shulchan Aruch would say because, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch does hold mitzvah striches kavana.
All the Achronim that have this question on the Magen
Avraham. Right, so those who ask the question on the Magen Avraham, but that doesn't bother me so much because I think it's a very good, it's a very intuitive svara. It's just like when you think about it, it's true, and then I think I can prove it very well. The Gemara in Ksuvus has a strange comment about a Tanai. So this is one of the ABC comments about Tanoim. So they say, when they're talking about whether or not you can make a Tanai in certain things, Michte, let's see. Kol Tanai Mehecha Gamrina. Where do we learn out Tanai? Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvain, right? So in Parshas Matos, B'nei God and B'nei Ruvain made a Tanai. And the Gemara learns what they call the Mishpatei Tanai from all the different rules, Lav Kodim Nehain, Hain Kodim Lamaisa, Maisa Kodim Latanai. I don't know if I said that right, but I think I did. There are different rules when you make a Tanai. It has to be Tanai Shef Shulakaimo, right? So he says here.
Then the Maisa has to come after.
Tanai Kodem Lemaisa.
Yeah.
Right. So he says, we learn it from them. So Tana de Efsha Lakiyume Al Yide Shaliach Kihasam Have Tana'e Tana'a. De Lo Efsha Lakiyume Al Yide Shaliach Kihasam Lo Have Tana'a. So the Gemara tells you, you want to know one of the rules that we see from there is that they could have fulfilled their word through a shaliach. Yes, they were the ones who started the war. They went ahead and fought in the beginning, but even if they would die, those who took up the mantle in their stead would complete it. And therefore, that's called a tanai that you can fulfill through a shaliach. So therefore, every tanai has to be capable of being fulfilled through a shaliach. That's what the Gemara learns. That if you can't use a shliach for it, it's not a valid tanai. Right? And the yeshivish way to say it, the Rishon Mary, you phrase it this way, it's milsa de isa b'shlichus isa b'tanai, milsa de leisa b'shlichus leisa b'tanai. That something which you can make a shliach for, you can make a tanai. Something which you can't make a shliach for, you can't make a tanai.
How do we get to there?
Well, he's saying one of the things, meaning the binyan av for the concept of a tanai is b'nei gadim b'nei ruvain, and the tanai of b'nei gadim b'nei ruvain was not contingent only on them doing it. They could have sent shluchim to do it as well. So Tosfos is very unhappy about this. So Tosfos says, "What do you v'im tomar umas svara yesh kan de lo gamina mehasam el inyan mashu svara?" Like, there's no svara. We only learn out those rules which are logical. De halo yafina mehasam de lo mahani tanai el nesinas karka. We don't say, "Well, the Tanai B'nei Gadim B'nei Ruvain was about getting land. So therefore, every Tanai only works on land." We don't say that because, like, that's not... When you have a Binyan Av, you have to use your own logic to decipher what the Binyan Shadav should... what the Binyan Av should be effective for, and, like, what's actually a general rule that's meant to be learned out from here versus what are the specifics of that case that don't apply from the prototype to everything else. So where's the logic that a tanai has to be done through a shaliach? Yes, that one was able to be done through a shaliach, but there's no logic that should be part of the prototype. So he says, we don't limit it to cases that are involving land. We don't limit it to cases involving war. We don't limit it to cases involving Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. It doesn't have to involve your whole shevet. You know, like it's not, these are not logical ways of extending the idea. So says Tosfos, no, v'yesh lomar, dahainu taima, dehol v'amaisa kol kach biyado, sheyachol l'kaim al yidei shaliach, svarahu shehei kamochein biyado l'shavuyi beitna'a. Says Tosfos, it's actually a very logical conclusion, but not the way you would think. I'll give you a mushel. I don't know. It's not a great mushel. The mushel and the nimshel are not exactly the same, but I think it'll help drive home the point a little bit. Basically, let's say you get a job. I don't know. You guys doing internships now? So, well, you say you are. So you're at your internship, and your boss tells you, go get me some coffee. Right? Every good intern is told to get coffee. So he says, go get me some coffee. So you are on your way out of the building, and then you see your friend, who's even lower than you on the totem pole. And you say to him, hey, I was about to go out and get coffee, but I just realized I don't want to. So you're going out anyway. You're going out anyway, so can you pick up some coffee for my boss and bring it to him? So the guy says yes, and you're very excited, and then you go, and the boss gets the coffee, and then the boss calls you into his office, and he's like, how come you didn't get me coffee? He said, I did. So he's like, no, that guy got me coffee, not you. So what's he telling you? He's saying, so you say, but I thought it was all about you getting the coffee. I didn't think it was about you making me do it. He's like, you don't get to decide. It's not your job. I didn't give you over the bilus of this shlichus, because he's a very yeshivish guy. So he says, I didn't give you over the bilus of this shlichus that you can then appoint your own shlich. So he says, I wanted to make you do something. That was my goal. I didn't make you in charge of this act to the extent that you yourself had the right to appoint a messenger. That's what he's telling you. And Tosfos is saying, that's what the Gemara means when they say, it has to be what we call in halacha biyado. for you to be able to make a shaliach. So there are certain mitzvos where it's not in your hands to make a shaliach to do it, because sometimes the Torah is saying, like, this is your action and you're in charge of it. And sometimes the Torah is just saying, it's not yours, you're not in charge of it. If you just press this button, poof, that's the mitzvah. And you don't really control whether the mitzvah can be effective or not. So we have to differentiate between those mitzvos, which are, which we would say, halachically speaking, are dependent on our das, and those which are not dependent on our das, they're just dependent on our maisa.
Isn't that like
Bein Adam L'Chaver
versus
Bein
Adam
L'Makom? Not always. There are Bein Adam L'Makoms there are some Bein Adam L'Makoms that are also dependent on our das. And there's some Bein Adam L'Makoms, if you do the act, that's it. Right?
Like,
so,
Bein
yeah.
Bein Adam L'Chaver is very like, driven by like outcome.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Meaning it still could be driven by your das as well. I don't know if it's specifically a chiluk in that way. I think there are certain actions where basically if you perform the magic formula, that's the mitzvah. And you don't really have much to do about it, and certainly your mind doesn't have much to do about it. And there are certain actions where it's all about your mind. Right? Kiddushin is not even a mitzvah necessarily. Let's assume it is for argument's sake. But the kiddushin is very, very much tully on your das. Right? As opposed to the example that Tosa is working with over here is chalitza. Chalitza is just an action that you do. And
you
it's not...
You can't do shaliach.
What?
You can't.
So he's saying here, you can't make a shaliach for chalitza, right? Because the Gemara tells us that. He says, the punchline of the Tosa for the sake of this sugya is, says, Avol chalitza, she'in biyado l'kaima ide shaliach, lo havi biyado nami l'mir mebetna. So he's saying that, why can't you make a shliach for a chalitza? Because it's not your mitzvah to begin with that you're in charge of. You're not in charge of it. Hashem just said, do this act, and that's chalitza. Right? We don't know what taking shoes off and spitting on the ground and, you know, calling out the window, kachal yeh. We don't know what does that have to do with anything. It's the weirdest, it might be the weirdest ceremony in all of Judaism. Right?
Kaparos.
What?
Kaparos.
I said in Judaism. The So it's in the Torah. Like, it's not, it says very clearly what to do about in the Torah. So we know it's the real deal, but like, it's weird. You know, it's really a really sad thing when there's a guy who dies, that's sad enough, and he has no kids, that's even sadder. And then he has some non-from brother who just has no shaychus to anything, and you got to call him into the Beis Din, and like, this is his one exposure to Judaism because we need him for a chalitza, you know? It's very unfortunate. It's like you want to have him over for a Shabbos or whatever. You know? You have some kugel. I don't know.
You invite him for the Shabbos,
right.
We're gonna do
chalitza Sunday morning. Okay, this Beis Din only meets on Sunday morning. Let's have a nice Shabbos together, and then we'll do chalitza. The chalitza won't seem
right
as bad, you know.
Died.
Right, chalitza won't seem as bad, you know, after a nice weekend. But it's really weird. It's just a maisa that we do. We're not bailim over the maisa. So he says, just like you can't make a shaliach for chalitza because you're not in charge of the maisa chalitza, so too you're not in charge of it to make a tanai. So he's saying that tanai is basically a din where your das doesn't rule over it enough to create bailus.
So then why do we let it by tefillah?
What?
Why do we let tanai by tefillah?
So tefillah is very much tully in my das.
But you're not
going right?
to make a shliach there.
Ah, so you can't make a shliach for someone to daven for you, but is that really because you're not the bailim over it, or is that something else? So this is the famous Tosfos Rid, right? Yeah, it's the Tosfos Rid's point in Kiddushin where he says that there are certain mitzvahs you can't make a shliach for a totally unrelated reason, which is you are the bailim over it, but you can't, you know, you can't say to the guy, like, I'm going to, he said, where are you headed right now? I'm going to put on tefillin. All right, have me in mind. Be my shaliach, you know. That was, I think, Rabbi Grala once, you guys know him? I don't know, he was a rabbi here back in the day. So he once had a bar mitzvah shetel for one of his kids, so he made like a whole long PowerPoint. And one of the things, he's trying to illustrate this point where he had his sons, one of the bar mitzvah boy and his younger brother were playing one-on-one in the front of the house. And then
Rabbi Wolf showed us this PowerPoint.
The no, other one.
No, that was his son's PowerPoint.
So one of the kids went up for a layup to win the game, and his brother says to him, "Ha, I'm making you my shaliach." Right? So he says, "I'm making you my shaliach." So it's a kilu I scored, not you. Right? So he's like, "You can't do that, because the whole kunst of basketball is that you should be the one to score. Especially half court. I'm saying you want a full court. It just depends which basket it goes in. But if it's half court basketball, so if the other guy scores, he scored for himself. He didn't score for you.
You can't make a shot.
So it's about you being the guy to put the ball in the basket. I can't say, well, I don't feel like putting on tefillin today, so you put on tefillin twice. Once for you, once for me. That doesn't work.
Tefillin, you can't make a shleif.
No, you can't.
I can't tell. How can I put on tefillin on my arm?
That's me doing tefillin. The mitzvah is
Shartan,
to wear. What? Okay, so if I can't do the kshir, but definitely the mitzvah is to have the tefillin on you. So
putting it on now.
Yeah, so you won't have the same maisa mitzvah, but definitely your yotzi. You're not yotzi the mitzvah ayidei shaliach. It's not that the guy's your shaliach to tie it. You just can't tie it.
No.
So when it comes to certain mitzvos, it's not that it's not indicative that you're not the bailam over the mitzvah. It's just that your body has to do the act. So you can't daven for me. You can't say kriya shma for me. Not because I'm not the bailam over my kriya shma. It's because I have to be mekabel malach shemayim on myself. That's just the nature of the mitzvah. So that's a third category, not that one that Tosfos is talking about. Tosfos is talking about either your das plays a major role in it, that you're in charge of it, and therefore you can make a shliach and you can make a tanai, or no, it's just an act that you do, and you can't make a shliach, and therefore you can't make a tanai. So the tanai is, this is a classic what we call simon versus siba. Whether or not you can make a shliach is not the reason why you can or can't make a tanai. It's just an indicator. It indicates that you're not in charge of this to the extent that you want to make a tanai. Okay, so that's the introduction to the punchline here. If you flip over the page, I gave you like a quick quote from Rabbi Hanan Wasserman. So he's talking about Baal Tosef. So he says, "V'yesh lomar didafka lamanda amar mitzvos tzrichos kavana eno over be Baal Tosef below kavana." So he says, if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, then you can't violate Baal Tosef without kavana. Mishum de mitzvah below kavana lahachman damar have chatzi maisa, because a mitzvah without kavana for the sake of the mitzvah is not the full act. Ava laman damar mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, maisa below kavana he maisa shlema. Right? It says that when you do the act, it's a full act. V'hagriusa eina b'maisa mitzvah ela b'kiyum hamitzvah. So he's saying that, what's he talking about? He's talking about a case where a guy wants to have negative kavana and not violate Baal Tosef. So he wanted to suggest that you can do let's say you want to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres with kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. Did you violate Baal Tosef or not? So he says, well, if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, then if you don't have kavana to be yotzei, you're not yotzei the mitzvah, and therefore you didn't violate Baal Tosef. But if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, so let's say you sit in the sukkah, so you're going to violate Baal Tosef. So you say, oh, I have the easy solution.
Negative.
I'm going to have negative kavana. He says, it won't work. He said, it won't work. Why not? So basically, the way he's analyzing it is that negative kavana does not, if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, negative kavana doesn't affect your maisa at all. Negative kavana, it just blocks the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Meaning, Hashem is not going to force you to fulfill mitzvahs if you don't want to. So you say, look, I want to do this act, but I don't want it to count on my ledger as a mitzvah. So therefore, I can block the kiyum ha-mitzvah. But that doesn't block the maisa ha-mitzvah. The maisa ha-mitzvah was still done. That's why you can hold that kavana doesn't really play a role in your action, but still, you don't get a mitzvah. Does that make sense?
If I said right now that I'm instituting a mitzvah to scratch my right ear,
yeah,
then I would violate Baal Tosef, right?
Well, no. That would just be weird. If you said the Torah says there's a mitzvah to scratch my right ear, and there are really 614 mitzvahs in the Torah,
yeah,
that would be, let's say, Baal Tosef,
right,
perhaps.
So now, if I don't do that and I scratch my right ear.
If you don't...
If I don't say such things. I never had such kavana and scratch my right ear, according to this Rav Chanan.
I don't understand the Nimshal.
Meaning, according to this Rabbi Chanan, right, that like, he's bringing it in on Shmini Atzeres, where there is a chshat of Bal Tosif because people are worried about such things.
Right. Not because people are worried, because it's a continuation of the mitzvah that's right. been going on. If you would randomly sit in a sukkah now, that wouldn't be Bal Tosif. It's only because you're continuing the mitzvah through the end of Sukkot, and you're adding a day of Sukkot, that's why it would be Bal Tosif.
Okay,
but let's not even worry about the case. I'm just worrying about what we can get out of the case. What we get out of the case is a very important chilek. Why is it that negative kavana works even when I hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana? Because it's not about the maisa. Kavana, if you hold mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, then kavana is part of the maisa. But if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, it has nothing. The kavana is not part of the maisa, and thus you have to learn negative kavana totally differently. You have to learn that negative kavana blocks the kiyum, but the maisa is shulling. And when we understand it that way, I think we can now go back and explain the Magen Avraham very well. What's the Magen Avraham saying? If you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, that means that when it comes to a maisa mitzvah, your kavana plays a huge role, which means that you are the balim over your mitzvah. Your kavana is essential to the mitzvah. And therefore, it's shayach to make a t'nai. Because we said in Tosfos, you can't make a t'nai unless you are the balim over the mitzvah. If you're not in charge of the mitzvah, and it's just an act that you do, then you can't make a t'nai. If you are in charge of the mitzvah, then you can. So mitzvos tzrichos kavana or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana is that chilek itself. It's basically saying if you hold that my kavana is part of the mitzvah, by definition, my mind rules the mitzvah. If you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, my mind is not part of the mitzvah, just my actions. And thus, if your actions are all that's necessary, yes, you can block it, because you're not blocking it. That has nothing to do with the action. That has to do with the kiyum. So you can state definitively, I don't want it, but you can't state a t'nai, maybe I do, maybe I don't, because that requires bilus over the mitzvah. So what comes out of it is that the Hartzvi's chilek, I don't know if this is what he meant or not, but this is what he should have meant, right? No, I assume this is what he meant. So the Hartzvi's chilek is that when you want to block a mitzvah with negative kavana, you have to have definitive kavana and not a t'nai, is because qualitatively, they're two unrelated items. Negative kavana is just blocking the kiyum. And a t'nai is basically you controlling the mitzvah using your bilus over it. They're two really different ideas. And thus, the Magen Avraham says, yes, the Shulchan Aruch says you can make a t'nai by Svirsa Omer because mitzvah tzrichos kavana, which means you're the bilum over Svirsa Omer. If you want it to count, it counts. If you don't want it to count, it doesn't count in the mitzvah itself. Whereas if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana, you're not the bailam over Sfiras Omer. And therefore, trying to make a t'nai would be worthless. Negative kavana? Sure, that would work. But undefinitive negative kavana? No way. Because you need to be the bailam over the mitzvah to be able to do that, and the Magen Avraham holds you can't. All right, I don't know if I confused you or clarified something, but if you think about it, I think it's a nice idea.
I don't know if that's what the Hartzvi is saying, but it's a good...
Right, I think it's a good differentiation between the two.
And once you hear it that way, it makes sense.
Right, okay, anyway, think it over, see if you like it.